his books and columns and things he wrote were done for the express benefit of the public, and he was writing for the public who knew him as Groucho, and that's the kind of stuff he wrote. Funny, you know, whatever he wanted, you know, just the way Groucho would have spoken is the way he wrote. Now, I'll give my own book a plug, his letters to me, his daughter. Now, in those letters, he is not doing Groucho. He is being Groucho the father. He's not being Groucho Marx, the funny man. And one sees a totally different side of this man that no one ever saw before. Even in his book of letters called The Groucho Letters, where he writes to a lot of famous people, he's still on. He's trying to write well and funny or whatever to impress these people. But he didn't do that with me. He wrote exactly how he felt. And I don't think he ever thought they were going to be published, so he said whatever he wanted to say. But that's okay. It showed him as a person. As a young person, a child, he did like to read a lot, and he actually wanted to go on studying, but because of finances and things, he did have to quit school in the eighth grade. By the time I was a little girl, he was constantly reading and teaching me how to read when I was very young, and literature was a big part of his life. Not fiction. He didn't care much about fiction, but he did read biographies and all kinds of political things, and he took a lot of newspapers and periodicals, and he just considered literature and plays a very important part of the arts, if not the most important part. And he always said, and I know others have said it too, and I agree with him, if you don't have a good piece of writing for a play or a movie, doesn't matter who's in it. The actors and actresses can't carry a lousy piece of writing, so it's really the writers who are the most important part of anything like that. And I agree with him. I remember him writing articles and guest columns and things for people, and being very, really wanting them to be well done, and going over them and rewriting them, and, you know, reading them to me. And for some reason he thought that I was a critic, that it was worth listening to. I don't know why, but he did. And he didn't just write something out and that was it. I mean, it was constantly changing and doing it over till he felt it was the way he wanted it. And in the scripts, the Marx Brothers scripts, whenever he received a script when it was time, he would spend many, many days going over the script and rewriting it. Not just his part, but everybody's part, because he wanted it perfect, or as perfect as it could be. So he was a sort of a perfectionist. And he knew how to say things sometimes better on paper than the people who wrote the stuff. And he felt very strongly that language was very important, and he instilled that into me. And it's like, I have no ear for music, really, but I kind of have an ear for language, which I learned from him. Unfortunately, he had an ear for music, too, but I didn't inherit that. And even today, I may not know all the rules of grammar, but I know when something is not written right, and I can correct it. Most of his friends were writers, and if not writers, songwriters, producers, directors, probably the majority, more of them were writers. And some of the people that he was friendly with were George Kaufman, the playwright, and S.J. Perelman, the writer, and Robert Benchley. And those people meant a lot to him, not just because they were writers, because they were good friends, but he sought literary people to be with because he felt comfortable with literary people. And apparently they did with him too. So it worked out. The only time I recall that he talked about the critics was when he wrote a play called Time for Elizabeth with Norman Krasna, and they worked on it for a couple of years, and they worked hard on it. And I have to say it wasn't the greatest play ever written by a long shot, but it wasn't the worst either. And they opened in New York. He should have been playing it in New York. That would have helped it. But an actor named Otto Kruger played it. But I don't think it mattered. The critics were laying for him because it was Groucho Marx, and they really tore it apart. And he was very upset. he told me, he said, he wrote me in one of the letters to me, and he said, I will never, ever subject myself to that again. And he said, that was the most horrible ordeal of my life, having those critics come down on me like that about Time for Elizabeth.